The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Probably one of the most quoted string of words in Scripture. And perhaps one of the most controversial as well. Those few words, I would argue, have caused many a theological argument, and depending on how you interpret those words and what the call is in them, how we follow Jesus can look very different indeed. I think I've shared with you before that I really admired an evangelical pastor and PhD sociology professor named Tony Campolo. He was a fiery, in the best way, preacher and teacher, and a rare evangelical, truly believing in grace and not getting hung up on so many of the, and I would call them this too, distractions that so many Christians get hung up on. In one of his lectures, he talked about how this passage in particular has indeed set off some pretty misguided notions and even more actions that some Christians take thinking they were summoned to undertake by this passage. Campolo liked to call it Christian adventures in missing the point. And I always love that. Don't get me wrong, I love it because I know I do it all the time. I have to catch myself. One adventure in missing the point that Campolo often talked about was how evangelicals would be called by this passage to stand on street corners and pass out pamphlets in the calmest and tamest version, and perhaps also to interrogate every passerby in its worst. He had a term for it. He called it vomit theology. The ridiculous idea, he would say, that you can convert someone by doing just that, vomiting your beliefs on them. He stated this as if you stand on the corner and vomit on the next person that comes near you, And through that person has scales fall from their eyes and walks away transformed. Kampala would say, in many instances, the people you vomit on are indeed converted. They're converted to the full assurance that they do not want one thing you're offering. In other words, it was never going to work. They are not transformed. No, instead, they just smell bad and need to change their clothes. And I see how you get there with this. Many of you know I took a stroll through the evangelical world before I found my way to Anglicanism. And so I do know a bit about this. I remember being schooled in testifying and being a witness. But one day I realized for all the good I felt about myself in doing it, I had very little success, if you will, in what I was doing. I really couldn't think of one person who had been changed or brought to Christ by this approach. In fact, I had a feeling more that they were pushed even farther away. It may come as a surprise and perhaps even a scandal to some of you that I was brought to this notion not by another Christian, but instead by a Buddhist named Thich Nhat Hanh, who has mined this particular phrase more than most Christians have. I am the way and the truth and the life. Hahn interpreted that phrase not as an exclusive dogma, but instead an invitation to practice a way of living rooted in love and mindfulness. Hahn believed Jesus was pointing to a living truth and a way of action, not a doctrinal litmus test. Quite frankly, that is where I am now too. I think he has this exactly right. I think Hahn once said about this, I am the way and the truth and the life seems much better to say than I know the way, I know the truth, I know the life. When Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father, I believe this one phrase is what this is really all about. Jesus is saying to live in his way. In fact, in Jesus' time, his followers were known as the followers of the way. Not necessarily of Jesus, although they would all say he was their model and leader and Lord. His way was what they followed. It's like I told many of you in adult forum when I'm asked, do you believe in the Bible? I always quickly say no, because I don't. However, I do very much believe in all that the Bible points us to. After my conversion to this thought, I began to feel that what you said you believed, how much scripture you could quote from memory, or how many people you think you converted through your brilliance and persistence, or just how many you had judged and deemed unworthy, was not the measure of a Christian, a follower of the way. Instead, the proof was in how you lived it. We see so much right now of persons who say all the right things, who can say the name Jesus about every 10 words, but actually live a life that hardly would be recognizable amongst the disciples. In short, the idea was living a life in such a way that people would see it and not need you to go to them, but instead they'd come to you and say, hey, how do you live that way? I want some of what you got. Truly, what kind of God do we have if it's a God that requires us to go out and bludgeon people to death with our words in order to have God revealed to them? Most of you know Marty and I just got back from a fabulous trip to Ireland. We visited Galway for the first time, and it will not be the last. We loved it. But one day as we walked through that beautiful town, we literally about every other intersection came upon two, always men, dressed nicely, flanking whatever path we were on, and trying to pass out flyers about the judgment of God. They were pleasant. They didn't get angry when you said no thank you, and very few people took what they were offering, and they were everywhere. I feel for them. And perhaps that's rather patronizing, but I say that because I always want to go up to them and say, hey, I know why you're out here, but do you really believe this pamphlet's going to change a person's soul? Tell me how you live it out. Show me. Don't tell me. You might think of it as the difference between giving a beggar a dollar and asking them to come have lunch with you. Once, tested on this belief that I've preached many times, when my son was about 5 years old in Austin, Texas, an obviously desperate woman came up to us outside a restaurant and asked me for some money for food. I looked at her and told her all I had was a credit card, but I was glad for her to follow us in and I would buy her food. And if she wanted, she could even eat with us. But that I didn't require that. I was happy to just buy the food and let her go. She quickly turned it down, saying, "Oh, I just can't eat anything they have in there." And I said, "Well, then you're not very hungry." And we walked in and left her standing on the curb. I really had a lot to explain to my son after that. On another occasion, I tried it again in Seattle. I was outside my favorite fish and chips restaurant, and an African-American man came up to me, and he asked the same question. "Could you give me some money for food?" And I gave him the same answer. "Don't have any cash, but I have a credit card. I'm glad to buy your lunch, and you can even eat with me if you want." And his eyes lit up, and he opened the door, and we went in, and I bought his food, and we had lunch together. The two Greek gentlemen that run this place, and they're a whole other sermon for a whole other day. Someday we'll do that. They looked at me funny when I said, "I want to buy his lunch, whatever he wants." They knew me, and they knew him, because they were constantly shooing him away from their store. And the Greek man looked at me and he asked, "He your friend?" I said, "Well, I hope so." And he said, "He your brother?" I said, "Yeah, don't we look like brothers?" But then I got serious because it dawned on me. I said, "Yes, he is." And this so impressed this little owner I'd seen for years that he split the cost of the meal for me. He wanted in on the action, you might say. In on the good. Small, small stuff. And yet I think that's where we start.
Yes.
To know and understand the meaning of walking the way. Yes. Instead of just talking about it.
Amen.
Or handing out pamphlets.
Yes.
Food no one is really asking for. I think it's wonderful that this day, this passage comes up when we celebrate Michael Lee. The day we give our tremendous gratitude for all he's done for this place. There is what I believe was first a Jewish parable, and I've shared this with you before, a belief more or less that says at any one time there are 20 people holding the world together. We never know who they are, but you should always expect at least one is near you. So you treat everyone as if they're one of those people. I think we could all agree that Michael Lee has, on so many days, in so many ways, been one of those 20 people, if not for the world, although I have no trouble with that, definitely here for All Saints.
Amen.
He's given so much in this place and to this place, so much you and I have seen, but I would dare say far more that we haven't seen.
Amen.
And what makes this so special is that he has done all of that out of love for all of you, for this place, for its mission. For its purpose. He hasn't pontificated about the way of Jesus. He's just walked it,
yes.
Lived it, incarnated it before our very eyes. So he's now in a transition, you might say. He's going from an employee and member to just a member.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, if you've not thought about it, I want you to hear it from me. This is not going to be an easy transition to make. But the difficulty is going to be more for you and me, not for Michael. So listen up. All of us, me included, whenever anything around here is unknown or uncertain, thinks first and foremost of Michael or Lou. Starting today, the best gift you can give to Michael so that he might be able to live fully into being a participant in this community is to stop doing that. When you hear yourself saying, "I'll ask Michael," stop yourself and think of another way. Help each other lovingly with that. As Mark Twain said, in a Christ-like way, tell them to go to hell. No, I'm just kidding. Stop them from that. Stop yourself from that. That's the greatest gift we could give Michael, and ourselves for that matter. Michael, personally, this is for you. Thank you so much. In my short time here, you have been a tremendous gift to me. And I know that sentiment's felt by so many in this room today and beyond. Thank you for all you've done, and we wish you only the very best in this new life. And I believe I speak for everyone when I say we're very grateful you'll still be here in our midst, part of this community, in a new and, we pray, enriching and nourishing way. Thank you for being you, for offering yourself, for living before our very eyes the way. My beloved, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I believe that. And you don't have to preach it. Just live it. And by so doing, you will be spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.